And they will try to deceive. They will try to get people to believe something different than what's really found in the Word of God. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The context of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 is important. Verse number 1 of that chapter says this, "Know this, that in the last days perilous or difficult times will come." And then he goes and he says, and he lists down through the chapter here a lot of things that are indicators of how the world is going to be before the Lord comes back. And he says this, "Evil men and seducers shall get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Deception is something that Satan will do to keep us off track, to keep us focused in the wrong direction. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Matthew 24 and verse 24, what's going on here? Jesus Christ is talking to the disciples. And they said, "Lord, what's the sign of your, when's your return? What's it going to look like? What's going to happen?" And he begins to talk to them. "Here's some things you got to think about." And he says, if it were possible, these people in these end times, the potential was they could even deceive the very elect. And here the elect speaks of the Jewish nation, the Jews themselves. And as Christ is talking to his disciples about this, he's saying, be careful of deception. And it's interesting how that a lot of these verses deal with the concept of what's yet to come, what it's going to look like in the future. And what it's going to look like in the future is there's going to be a tremendous, tremendous amount of deception. And it means, that word there means to thoroughly deceive. To take a person and get them to believe thoroughly that this is how it really is. Isaiah chapter 5 says this, and Isaiah was talking about the nation of Israel, and actually Judah in particular. And he said this, and we talked about, I heard it mentioned here this morning, in chapter 5, and he says, "There will be a day when men will call good evil, and evil good, and they will call bitter sweet, and sweet bitter, and they will call light darkness, and darkness light." And we sit back sometimes, and we look and watch what's happening around us, and say, how can a person even believe that? Because they can be deceived to the point of going the opposite direction. And as Paul writes to this church here, and he tells these believers, he says, don't let deception creep in. Don't forget what you've learned. Don't be thoroughly convinced. You know, we saw it, and we said it, we mentioned it earlier, when I say earlier, a month or so ago, and May 21st in 2011, Harold Camping was telling the whole nation that the rapture was going to take place. We're going to be out of here. And it never happened. And there are those who are coming out and are saying these things and are deceiving people. And Paul tells this church, beware of deception. How do you know if you're being deceived or not? Only if you know what is true. Again, you've heard the illustration. You don't give a banker counterfeit money. You just give them good money. And the good money they're exposed to all the time, day in and day out, fingertip to fingertip, all the time, all the time, all the time, when something that is not right crosses their fingers, they stop dead in their tracks because they're used to that feel. The only way that you and I can be sure that we will not be deceived is what? To know the truth of the Word of God. To be so saturated with that truth that deception cannot set in. And so as we see Paul here writing these thoughts to these people, you know, what does fear do to people? It causes angst. It causes worry. And so at this point he says, don't be deceived. Let no man deceive you by any means. Don't let it happen to you. And so we have to ask ourselves that question. What about things of the end times? And what about eschatology? And what about the world around us? And the deception is, we have to come back and say, what is true? What is true? And so what happens, number two, is this. Paul says this. Now, there's going to be deception take place. Number two, there's going to be desertion. Desertion. In your Bibles here, in verse number 3, says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." What day? The day of the Lord. And so Paul's telling these people at this point that there is going to be, and some of your Bibles may have the word apostasy. Anybody have the word apostasy in their Bibles there? A lot of you people would have the word apostasy. What is apostasy? It deals literally, it's called a revolt or a rebellion. And this is not a general apostasy, because we've had general apostasy throughout the world's history as far as the church is concerned. What do we mean by apostasy? We mean knowing what was truth and then walking away from that truth and denying that truth and saying, I don't believe that truth anymore. That was apostasy. It's a revolt. It's a rebellion against what you know to be true. And what we find here is a desertion that's going to take place at that time. And Paul's telling the people in the church at that point, he says, this has got to happen for the day of the Lord to take place. There's got to be an apostasy. There's got to be this falling away. There's got to be this time where men and people will start to say, hey, wait a minute, and they'll start to walk in a different direction. And it says here, there will become a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the King James has different words there, but we have to say that this word here, and if we look at it here in the original language, and again, it's hard to see it sometimes, is this, that there come first the, there's a definite article there, the falling away. And what Paul was saying at this point, this is not just something that could have happened, it just happened gradually all over. There's a certain event that's going to show the world that things are going upside down in a big way. There is going to be this apostasy. And as you stop and you think about this apostasy, you go through the rest of the verses here for very quickly, and it says this, there comes a falling away, a man of sin is revealed, a son of destruction, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped as that he is as God, sitteth on the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This apostasy has been defined. Let's go for a moment and let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Daniel in chapter 9. And again, a prophetic portion of scripture that the people at that time knew. And so Paul, when he was teaching about this individual, this one who will be a part of the man of lawlessness, he's taking it from the context of the book of Daniel for a lot of it. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27, we read here these verses. And it says this, and he shall confirm who? This world leader. I'm not going to go through all the context. You go back and read it here. But this world leader shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Or literally, we talked about this or explained it earlier, this 1 week is a week of years or 7 years. So this leader shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week or for 7 years. And in the midst of that week or 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What do we mean by that? Daniel's writing to the Jews. And he's saying, there's this guy going to come on the scene, and he's going to set up a treaty with the Jews. And when we stop and we hear that somebody's coming on the scene, and it seems like there's going to be peace in the Middle East, boy, you better be ready to go. Because of what's taking place here, you see what's happening. Now, there's this one who sets up the covenant for 1 week, for 7 years. And he allows the Jews to go back to sacrificing. Now, a lot of people have said before, well, that's where the Dome of the Rock is. Who knows? God's got a plan already. But I also know that when I spent time in Jerusalem, there is a group of people that are already ready to build the fourth temple. You got Solomon's temple, you got Haggai's temple, you got Herod's temple, and now we got this temple we're waiting on. And there are people in Israel right now who have vestments ready to go, who have instrumentation ready to go, who have a cornerstone ready to go to be placed on the Temple Mount. And for the Jews themselves, if you're over there, if you've ever been in the Dome of the Rock, and there's a lot of times people can't get in there. I had the privilege of being there. In the Dome of the Rock itself, which is a high holy place for Islam, is a rock that's there. And they believe exactly that's where the Ark of the Covenant used to rest when the temple was in existence. And you say, well, then how's that going to happen? I don't know. A stray Katusha rocket? I don't know what's going to happen. But this world leader is going to set up a peace accord for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Here's a very, very dark situation here that's taking place. Matthew 24 and verse 15, Jesus Christ says to his disciples, when they said, when are you going to come back? He says this, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand, it's close. And what's close? The day of the Lord. But Paul writes to this church, he says, there's this man of lawlessness, this man of sin, who's going to come on the scene, and he's going to be very, very powerful. And he's going to cause the world to desert God. Totally. He will set himself up in the temple, and it says when he sets himself up in the temple, literally the Greek word there is for the inner sanctuary. Why is that important? Because that's where the Ark of the Covenant used to sit. It's the place where God's presence was known by the Jews. And this world leader will come on the scene looking like he's a friend to religion, set up a covenant with the Jews, allow them to rebuild, allow them to start sacrifice, and in the middle of that time, he will be the apostate, the apostasy. And Paul's telling these people, that's not happened. And therefore, since that's not happened, you're not in the day of the Lord yet. Don't worry. Stop worrying. And as we stop and we see what's taking place here, I am at a point again that I have got your appetite whetted, but the clock is telling me I have to stop. And I'm not saying, you tell me don't stop, but folks, it's already 12:30. Okay, I can go on for another half an hour here right now. I'm not going to do that. But what do we see here? Paul's talking to the people, and he's saying something here initially to start with, this. Be careful in the day in which you live of deception. Of deception. I was listening to a message the other week. Somebody asked me to listen to a message, and so I listened to it. And the message was being preached, and the verse was thrown on the screen, and I looked at the verse and said, good verse. Let's see how the person expounds on that verse. And when he was finished, I went, Because when you follow the verse immediately after the verse he had on the screen, it would completely undo what he said about that first verse. That's how Satan deceives. And for us to understand that if we're going to avoid deception, we've got to know the context. We've got to know all that's going on. You know, you can take one verse, pull it out here, pull it out there, look at that verse. Oh, wow, that's a great verse. And then not read the verse before and after it. And all of a sudden, you read the verse before and after it, it changes the entire meaning of the verse. Can I share with you, that's what's happening in a lot of pulpits in America today. And when somebody asked me to watch it, I watched it, and I watched it again to make sure that I was not drawing wrong conclusions. We need to be careful in the day in which we live of deception entering into the churches across America. Let's not be deceived. Let's know the truth so well that we may not know exactly what's going on, but we know the truth well enough that we say, wait a minute, that doesn't quite square with what I know from the rest of the Word. Then dig and find out so that we will not be deceived. And there is a time coming, and we're not going to be here to see it because Paul already talked to these believers, said, you're not going to be here, you're not going to be there, you're going to be gone, but it's going to happen, and when it happens, it's going to be bad for this world. If you want a big idea today, go to, just write down on the big idea, give you something to think about, is Revelation 3 and verse 10. Put that down there so I can send you off with that thought there today. Revelation 3 and verse 10. And I have it up there, and I'm not going to go through my outline at this moment, so I'm going to turn into scriptures and read it for you. And it says this to the church of Philadelphia. He says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." What did he say here? There's a group that's dwelling upon the earth, and there's going to be something that's going to test them and try them, but there's others who are not going to be here. And that's where we come from. We're not going to be here. We will be with our Lord forever and spending eternity with him. This morning, this deception that's coming, this leader that's coming, he could be alive right now. You ever stop and think of that possibility? He could be alive right now. As you watch the world scene, you watch what's happening, and you see what's taking place, and you see the fighting, and you see there could be somebody that God's already got in the scene out there somewhere. We just don't know it yet. But there will come a person who we call the Antichrist. And anti means against and also in the place of. And what will the Antichrist do? He'll put himself in the place of God in the temple of Jerusalem. And he will become the world ruler for the last 3.5 years of this planet. So Paul says to the church, he says, "Guys, settle down. It's not happening yet." Let's pray. Father, today we come before you, and I thank you, Lord, for this day that we can worship you, and we've worshiped you in many ways today. We've come to you in prayer. We've come to you saying and asking you, Lord, to forgive us, and we've asked you, Lord, to hear our prayers for our nation, for those who are hurting right now in Houston, and Lord, for those that are hurting, may this event bring people to you. May they come and realize the love of Jesus Christ and the salvation that's only found in him. And so be with those folks down there. Lord, be with our nation. We have strayed so far from you and your word and the morality that's found in the word of God. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we've looked at the sacrament here of communion, the practice of communion, and realizing you died for us. I thank you, Father, that our hearts can go there, and then we go to the Word. Lord, it's all about you. And this morning, Father, if there's someone in this room who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, may they be sure of that this day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. If something happened tragically, and North Korea launched something that landed on our side of the ocean, and we say, well, it's not going to hit Elk Rapids, but who knows where it would hit? Would you be ready for it? Would you be ready for it? And you say, well, I don't know. That's what the Bible's about. That's what Jesus Christ is about, to make you ready to face death. And you're saying, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready. If you slip your hand up and put it down, we'll talk to you after the service to make sure that you know. Anyone like that? Those of you who've been here know I'm going to ask that question every Sunday. I take nothing for granted. Believers today, may we be the ones of peace in this world that's around us. May we be the ones who can bring a sense of quietness, a sense of hope, a sense of there's something beyond this. And may we be the ones who turn around and be an encouragement to those around us this day. Father, we just ask you that you just work in our hearts and our lives and help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be. Helping us, Lord, to understand and the knowledge of the Word of God, and with that knowledge that we have, bring in within our own hearts and our own lives a sense of peace, a sense of comfort to ourselves, first of all, and then to share with those around us. So, Lord, this day we thank you for allowing us to be with you and worship you And Lord, that you are with us. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.